against your name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. As we approach Thanksgiving, I do want to take some time this morning and talk to you about being thankful. You may take this as a negative approach to it, but the Bible also warns us about being unthankful and not thanking God. And so the title of the message this morning is Neither Were Thankful. That's found in our text. And I don't want us to be that way, amen. I was thinking about this myself, thinking, Lord, I need to be much more thankful than what I am. I don't thank the Lord nearly enough. He does so many, many wonderful things for us. He is so good to us. He is such a great God. He deserves our praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Amen? And I hope the Lord will help me to grow in that area of my life to be more thankful. Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. Paul is writing about probably the people that lived in Adam's day and that time frame. And he mentions how they knew God, but then they turned away from God. So look at 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's what the world is doing with the truth. They suppress it. They don't want you to know the truth. So they'll teach things that are contrary to the truth just to deceive. The devil is behind that. It's not that they cannot know the truth. Is that they don't want to know the truth or to acknowledge the truth. Because that, verse 19, which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. How did he show it unto them? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So when you look at creation, you should know there's a creator. Right? The world wants you to believe, and they'll teach you this in school, kids, that we're here because of the Big Bang. But you got to ask some questions about that. What exploded? And where did that come from? Who made that? Right? They just ignore all that. Just want you to say, hey, there was a little dot somewhere in nowhere, and it exploded. And that's why all the universes are made. If you believe that, you have an amazing imagination. God spoke the world into existence. Amen. And the universes. Amen. It's here because he created them. Amen? Amen? And his creation testifies to his existence. Clearly understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every man that can look up into the heavens and see what God has made, if he dies rejecting God, he's without excuse. Amen? Because, look at verse 21, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And look here, neither were thankful. By the way, we have a good God. Amen. There's only one God, but he's so good. Amen. He is so kind. He is so patient. He is so loving. How loving is our God? He's so loving that in order to redeem us from our rebellion against him, he sent his only son into the world to die on a cruel cross. Yes. Bearing your sins and my sins while on that cross, suffering God's wrath on him for us. That we might be made righteous with God. He loved you so much he gave his own son for you. You can't love anybody more than that, can you? He's kind and good and gracious and providing, long-suffering. He's patient with us. He's just an amazing God. Amen? He's also just and holy. And we need to be thankful for that. Amen? I'm thankful that we have the God we have. And I'm thankful that he's the only God there is. Amen? But became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I saw a guy that's supposed to be pretty intelligent the other day debating a man. And he said, what is 2 plus 2? And the guy said, well, it depends on what your definition of 2 is. I was like, you're too smart for me. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. The Creator is blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sunday morning. We thank you for this day of worship. We thank you for these precious people, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be able to assemble together without fear, without a threat of the government coming in and hauling us off to prison. We thank you, God, for the freedoms that we enjoy. We thank you for eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we appreciate that life comes because of our faith. Lord, you didn't ask us to do some great work or climb a mountain across a sea or give a certain amount of money. You just said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God, we thank you for making salvation so simple that even a child could understand it and be saved as a child. And Lord, we pray for your help this morning. We ask that the Holy Spirit of God would help us to communicate the Word of God to the people of God, Lord, so they may receive benefit and help in their spirit. Lord, feed us your Word. Lord, give us spiritual nourishment. Build us up in the most holy faith. Lord, especially help us to consider whether or not we are as thankful towards you as we ought to be. Lord, whether we're grateful for all the goodness that you've given to us and the many blessings that you've blessed us with. We pray, God, that you'd forgive us for not acknowledging the many blessings. Lord, help us to be more thankful than ever before because of the Word of God this morning and the Holy Spirit applying it to our life. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Francis Schaeffer said this, the beginning of men's rebellion against God was, and he says, and is, the lack of a thankful heart. Let me say that again. The beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. When you hear that, you might first think, wait a minute now, I don't think rebellion comes because that we are not grateful to God. I don't think that we start drifting from God because we don't appreciate all the good things that God has done for us. But when we read Romans chapter 1, I think it's pretty clear that it's at the top of the list. When he starts sharing how men begin to go astray, how they no longer walk with their God and love their God or serve their God, but became foolish and made up their own gods in their own mind. He says, because they did not glorify God, neither were thankful. And then he goes into the rest of the list that we have before us. So not being thankful is very high on the list. Amen? Amen. Not being thankful leads to a multitude of other steps of rebellion against God. To use not being thankful maybe seems to be kind of, let's give a little more attention and thought to this and dig into it deeper. But when you read the Word of God, it seems pretty clear that it starts with ingratitude. That we're not really looking to God and appreciating all that God has done, nor who God really is. And I want to remind you of the exhortations that we find in Scripture. The Bible is full. I could spend the entire morning this morning and go past our lunchtime just quoting verses from the Scriptures that tell us that we need to thank God. That we need to be thankful to God. Now, usually we start in the Psalms because the Psalms are a wonderful place to find many of those texts that says that we need to be grateful and thankful to the Lord. I want to start at the back of the Bible in the book of Revelations. In Revelation chapter 11, look if you would at verse 17. Christ is going to ascend to the throne and sit on that throne of the universe. And I cannot wait for that day. Amen? The only thing that's going to make this world the world that it ought to be under the Creator that we have is that when Christ reigns. Amen? Amen. And He will reign. Whether they believe it or not, whether they accept it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, it will come to pass. Jesus will sit on the throne of the universe. So in that context, he says in verse 15, our verse we're looking at is verse 17 of Revelation 11. But look, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, listen, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Here in Revelation, he's looking forward to the day that Christ ascends the throne. And when he sits on the throne, the elders are going to say, thank you for sitting on the throne. Thank you for taking that rulership that's yours. I tell you what, I think on that day, all of us who've been born again will be shouting that same thing. Amen. I can't wait to see Jesus high and lifted up and acknowledged for who he really is. Revelation chapter number 4 says something similar. Remember, if you go to the book of Revelation, it's not just revealing the end times. It's revealing the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he is doing in the world, and what he will do. In Revelation chapter number 4, look at verse number 9. And when those beasts, it's talking about the living creatures, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Listen, these are the living ones. They are in heaven saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They're not just saying, holy, holy, holy. They're saying, Lord, you are wonderful. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for who you are. Heaven rings with the sounds of thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen? Amen. The writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It's interesting. I'm telling you, you can go through the entire Bible and just quote verses on being thankful. But look at Hebrews 13, verse 15. It tells us a little bit about thanksgiving ourselves. In the Old Testament, read, when they want to thank God for something, they'd bring a sacrifice to the temple. They'd offer up a thanksgiving offering, sometimes called the peace offering in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 7. So they'd go out to the flocks and they'd find their best little lamb or best goat, and they'd take that to the temple, and the priest would say, why are you bringing that here? They said, I just want to say to God today, thank you. And I want to present this to God as a thank you, God, for all that you've done for me. Well, look at what Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of, sacrifice of what? Of praise to God continually. God doesn't want us to bring a lamb anymore because Christ's the lamb, right? Amen. But there are still some things that God would love to receive from us, that God rightly deserves to receive from us. Amen? Amen. He deserves to receive from us praise. I was praying this morning as we were singing our songs that God might accept them as a praise and adoration hymn. We don't praise him enough.
Right, right.
Even as we assemble, we don't praise God enough in our assembly. Amen?
Amen.
We don't praise him enough in our private time either. He is great, this is what the Bible said, and greatly to be praised. I want the Lord to help me in this area. I want to be a better example of praising the Lord. Sometimes I'm a little bit concerned when we have a visiting preacher and I'm saying, amen, amen, that's right, amen. That y'all can't hear what he's saying. I'm glad y'all could. But I want to agree with the Word of God. I want to acknowledge the truth of God's Word. I want to worship God. I don't want to sit in church and be like a knot on a log. Amen?
Amen?
I want to participate in worship. He said, offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And listen to what he said. That is, okay, what is this offer the sacrifice of praise continually? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So I want to praise the Lord. Well, he said, that is this then. The fruit of our lips saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being the Savior. Thank you for being the Christ. Thank you for being the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I'm saying to all of us, we don't thank God nearly enough. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just talking about where we're exhorted to thank the Lord. I know in my own life, I'm weak in this area. I don't thank God enough. Do you thank God enough?
No.
Listen to what 1 Timothy 2:1 says. Paul's writing a young preacher, and he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and then listen, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Amen. He's writing a young preacher. He's talking about ministering and laboring for Christ. He said, the first thing I want to mention to you, right off the top of the bat, Timothy, young Timothy, is you ought to be praying. You ought to be supplicating. God, we need this. Lord, would you send this? Would you help us here? Would you meet this need? Would you heal this sick person? Supplicating. God, supply the resources. Supply what we need. Help us, God. Send help to us. Or, he said, just prayers, generic praying. Amen? Sometimes you're just there talking to the Lord. Sometimes you're there just listening to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer is a mighty big word. Amen?
Amen.
Supplication, prayers, intercessions. I hope that you have some lost loved ones that you're interceding for. You're the go-between. God, help my loved one to come to Christ.
Yes.
Lord, they must be saved. Lord, please save them. Help them that they not die in their sins and spend eternity in hell. Interceding for the lost and interceding for others as well. Amen?
Amen.
But notice how he concludes that in 1 Timothy 2:1. And giving thanks be made for all men. And then he gives a list. Lord, thank you for our rulers. Thank you for those that are over us. By the way, if you were blessed or are discouraged because of this last election, we still ought to be thankful. Right? There are many things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful they didn't drag out over months and months, aren't you? I'm thankful that at least when at the end of the day that it was pretty clear who won. I'm glad it didn't just keep dragging out. I'm glad there was a resolution pretty quickly. I'm glad there weren't rioting in the streets, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm glad there wasn't chaos like many people. There's a lot to be thankful for. Even if you're not thankful for who was elected, there's still a lot to be thankful for, amen?
Amen.
A peaceful transition of power. That we still live in a free country, amen?
Amen?
In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, listen to what the Bible says. This is a powerful verse. It says to us, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, it didn't say for everything give thanks. Don't write your own little verse there, right? It said in everything give thanks. In any situation you're in an awful situation, usually in the worst situation you've ever been in, there's usually things in there that you can say, God, I thank you for that.
Yeah.
Amen? I wrecked my truck. I lost it, but nobody died. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
My house burnt down. I lost all my possessions. But at least I didn't lose my family. I mean, there's always something to thank God for it.
Amen. Amen.
And as His children, we ought to always look for the goodness of God instead of looking for to blame God for something.
Amen.
Because God is a good God. Amen? And He's always good. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He will not put on you more than you can bear. Aren't you glad about that? Can you say thank you, Lord, for that?
Amen.
Sometimes it might seem heavy, but His promise is, I'll not put on you more than you can bear. Ephesians 5, I'm going to end this part after this verse. But if you go through the Bible, I'm telling you, you can go all day long. Verses that tell us, thank God, be thankful. Make sure you express. What was wrong in Romans 1? Neither were thankful. What does the Bible say over and over again? Be thankful to God. Give God thanks. Show your gratitude. Show your appreciation. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The absolute truth is this. I could go on and on and on. Many, many other verses that say to us as His children, thank God. Thank God for what He's doing in your life. I wonder if there was an account kept of how many times we ask God for something And how many times we thank God for something, I wonder what that count would look like. How many of y'all think the asking would be a big number, and the thanking would be probably be a very small number? How many of y'all would agree with that? How many of you know that according to the Bible, they ought to be about the same? Amen? If we ask God for something and He does it for us, and He often does, wouldn't it be only right then to say, thank you, Lord? Amen. Sometimes we ask God to heal a loved one, and then that loved one's healed, and God receives no gratitude, no praise, no acknowledgement. So that's the exhortation of Scripture. Thank the Lord. Show your appreciation to the Lord. Acknowledge His goodness. Be grateful to God. But then secondly, notice the emptiness. You know, someone that's not thankful is really empty on the inside. Something's wrong when someone is not thankful. How many know people that are, I don't want you to point fingers, but think about in your life, there are some people that you know that no matter what you do for them, they don't appreciate it. In fact, they really think you probably should have done more than what you did do. Ever meet somebody like that? You go and help them, and they don't say thank you. They don't show appreciation. They say, well, why didn't you do so-and-so? I remember there was a lady that my daughter Carrie used to work for, and she asked if I could do some work for her and her husband at their house. And so I agreed to do a certain amount of work. And we set on a certain price. So I went there and done the work. And instead of saying, here's the money we agreed on, thank you for that, she said, well, since you're here, do you think you can do this too? Just a little bit of this over here. I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. And so I did that. And then when I finished that up, she said, well, you know, could you do this over here? She had been taught to get a certain thing agreed on and then see if you can add some more to it. Now, she didn't offer to add more to what she was going to give me. And I can't even remember her name, so I'm not even, but I'm just, you know people that are like that. Bruce faced a guy that was like that. Cut down some trees for him and said, I'll also get rid of these stumps, cut them a little bit closer to the ground. And he gets all of them done, cuts the stumps. And the guy said, well, could you go cut that stump too? And he goes over there and cuts that stump. And, well, could you go ahead and cut this one too? And there was tons of them out there until Bruce finally had to say, if I cut any more, I'm going to charge you more. And all of a sudden, he was fine with the amount that had been cut. Well, we kind of joke about that, but listen, when it comes to God, we're all a lot like that. And what happens is there's an emptiness inside because we're never satisfied with life. We never appreciate the good things that we do get. We're always expecting something more, or something bigger, or something greater. We're always wondering why God isn't doing this for us or that for us, instead of looking at all that He has done for us and rejoicing in that. And so they end up living an empty kind of life. Day after day, there's emptiness there. A mother and her son were walking down to the store one day, and they met a neighbor who was returning with a bag of groceries. The neighbor gave the boy an orange, and the mother said, now, son, what do you say to the kind gentleman? And he held it up and said, now, peel it. I think she was trying to get him to say, thank you. But he had learned a wrong lesson, didn't he? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks about the end days and what they would look like. And he says this about the days that we're in and we're approaching. This is going to be common in the world when Christ returns. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Might be an empty. If you only love you, you're going to live a real empty life. If you can't look at your mother and your dad and say, man, I'm so glad God gave me my mom and my dad. Now, I know parents aren't perfect. I can say to you, my parents weren't perfect. They didn't raise us in a Christian home. But there's so much that I appreciate about my mom and dad. My mom, my dad would got divorced three times. They would remarry, get divorced. When dad passed away, they were separated. So a lot of times mom was had us, just and there were seven of us kids. And she could have worked anywhere she wanted to work, but she worked at the school in the cafeteria. Why? She could take us to school, be there all day at school, and then take us home after school was over. Sometimes that wasn't good because we got in trouble. They could go to our mother, they were in the cafeteria. But most of the time it worked out great. She would get us ready for school, get us to school, work all day during school, take us home, wash our dirty clothes, put a meal on the table, make sure the house was cared for. She done the bulk of all the work as a single mother with seven children. You know, some mothers today facing that would just say, I'm out of here. I love and appreciate my mother. I appreciate and love my in-laws. They are a tremendous blessing to me. Brother Joy made a mother-in-law joke, and I rebuked him after. You know. But men act like their mother-in-laws are just wild, strange creatures. I don't know anything about that. I have the sweetest, most loving mother-in-law. She loves me just like I'm her son. I can't even understand why people would joke about their mother-in-law. I've never seen anything like that. I'm saying I'm extremely blessed. And by the way, you are blessed as well. Amen? Amen. The truth is just the fact that you live in America. You are a very blessed person. Amen. All over the world, there are places that people live. They don't have a bed to sleep in. They don't have a dry floor to walk on. They're living underneath a little old tin hut. And I don't want to get too gross, but there's feces all over the road where they live at. And their children are going to the dump every day, digging through the dump, trying to get nourishment and some kind of food. That's not a small portion in the world. That's a good number of people that live in the world, and we live in a great day to live in America. It seems like people that are empty on the inside are just never satisfied, no matter what you do. Paul wrote about these in the end of Romans chapter 1. I need to hurry up, but Romans chapter number 1, I'll just read this for you. At the end of that, he said, talk about these people that turn their back on God. Look, verse 29, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. What does unthankfulness lead to? What does it mean to have a heart that is not grateful to God? It leads to emptiness and many other sins. Let me try to close quickly by mentioning this to you. Why do people live this way? What's wrong? First is what is wrong is this, their view of God. Notice back in verse 21, before he said that they were unthankful, he said that they did not glorify him as God. The reason people don't show God the gratitude that God rightly deserves, how many of you know, If God wanted it to, it would not shine brightly today. He could keep the sun quenched. He could keep it from raining anytime he wanted to. He could cause any crop not to grow. I mean, the fact that God allows things to function as they are and blesses those things to function so they produce food so we can have it on the table to eat is a tremendous, tremendous blessing from God. You know, we're not as grateful as we ought to be because we've always had food on the table. Is that true? If you lived during the Great Depression, I started to raise your hand if you lived the Great Depression. I'm not that old. You know, it was hard. My father-in-law lived during those days. And he said when it came to eating a hog, pig, he said, we eat everything. Even the squeal. I don't know how you eat the squeal. My dad said they were so poor he couldn't pay attention. That's how poor they were. But we live in a tremendous day. There's a multitude. We are not appreciating God because we don't know who God is. And we don't even know what God is doing for us all the time. And because we don't know who He is, we're not as grateful to Him as we ought to be. Amen? Some of us feel that God owes us. So no matter what God does, even if it's wonderfully gracious, we think, well, you ought to do that anyway. Do you know this? God owes us absolutely nothing.
Right.
If there is any owing, we owe Him. You know, we live on His earth.
That's right.
We breathe His air. We drink His water. We eat His food. Right? We have a heart beating in our chest today because He wills it to beat. When I read of in Daniel chapter 4, Belshazzar, King Belshazzar, and he sinned against God greatly, he said, Daniel came in, read the handwriting on the wall, and he said, Belshazzar, you don't know God holds your breath in His hands. You know what? God holds our breath in His hands. Amen? The only reason you can walk on your 2 feet today, the only reason you can stand, get up out of the bed today, is not because you're powerful or strong or great. It's because God is merciful and gracious. He can turn things around in a moment. I'd hate to see Him turn things around for you in a moment, but God can turn things around in a moment. Amen? God doesn't owe us. We owe Him.
Amen.
Everything He does for us is gracious. Everything He does for us is really merciful. Right? Gracious, He gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy, He holds back judgment that we rightfully deserve. How many of you appreciate and thank God that He is merciful and gracious? I certainly do. Sadly, some people feel that God should serve them. They treat God like Santa Claus and say, God, you should do this and you should do that. Why ain't you doing this? Have you ever heard the atheist? And they rail against God. And one of the reasons they rail against Him is because they don't really know Him. But they love blaming God for all the wrong that's in the world. Can I tell you, the wrong that's in the world is not God's doing. You know why there's wickedness in the world? You know why there's little babies dying? You know why there's evil in the world? That's not what God wanted. God is not the author of that. God is not the one doing that. He's not doing that in a sovereign way, and He's not doing that in any way. That comes from evil. That comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. God said, don't do it. And guess what we're doing constantly? We're fighting against Him and rebelling against Him. And the world is in the mess it's in because we refuse to do what God tells us to do.
Right.
I got into an argument with a guy I work with about guns. And his philosophy was this. You should take every weapon and throw it into the ocean. Get rid of every weapon. And I said to him, I said, Chuck, that won't change a thing. The problem is not the weapon. The problem is the people holding them. And if they didn't use a gun, they'd use a knife. By the way, look at the stats in the United Kingdom. They took the guns away from even police officers. So what do you think they commit their crimes with now?
Knives.
So they started making laws against knives. They had a problem though. How are we going to eat if we outlaw every knife? You're not going to be able to outlaw that. The way to get that right is to acknowledge God and do God's will.
Amen.
If everybody in America were saved, everybody could have a gun. And as long as they weren't negligent and careless about it,
amen.
Should be negligent and careless, no one would ever get hurt. If everybody had a gun. The problem is not guns. The problem is our heart. Evil is in the world because of men's sin. God doesn't owe us. He's not our servant. We're His servant. We owe Him. If He does anything for us, we should say, thank you, God. And by the way, He daily loads us with benefits. I need to close. We have a wrong view of ourselves as well, don't we? And we also have a wrong view of others. And that's why sometimes we are not thankful. We don't show the appreciation. We don't even show the appreciation to one another like we ought to. I helped Brother Lewis yesterday and Sister Alice. Brother Brian did most of the work. I tried to get out of all of it. I made a cut, first cut. And it was so bad, I thought they'd say, Brother Tommy, you don't need to be doing no more cutting. But both of them said, oh, that's all right. But you know what Brother Lewis said? Yesterday, several times, thank you. Brother Brian said, Brother Tom, thank you, thank you. One of the first things Brother Lewis said this morning, we come to church, thank you, thank you. And that's how we ought to be towards one another, amen?
Amen.
When's the last time you went to mama, your mama, and said, mama, thank you? Washing my clothes and putting up the dishes and you know what you do, most of us do? We go to our dresser drawer, grab our clothes out of the closet, drawer, rush off, never even say, you know, it took her some time to fold that and wash that and clean that and put that up. When the last time Dad comes through the house, he's wore out, worked all day, and you said, Dad, thank you. If you didn't work as hard as you work, didn't do all the work that you do, we couldn't live here. We wouldn't have stuff that we have. I know, Dad, and we have all this stuff because you work hard. You love us. Can I say something to you? I never said that to my dad. Can I say something worse? It never even crossed my mind to say it to my dad. When's the last time you've been in prayer? And you started that prayer with, God, thank you. Thank you for saving me.
Amen.
If the Lord didn't save me, I probably would be in hell right now. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. If I didn't have His Holy Spirit, I don't know what I'd do. What would you do? Thank you for giving me fellow Christians. There have been many times in my Christian life where I've kind of just went down spiritually. I was not doing well at all. You know who helped me? Other Christians.
Amen.
Sometimes they would just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and they'd sing a song. And that song would just touch my heart. And I said, that's exactly what I needed. Or sometimes they'd teach a class or preach a sermon. Or sometimes we'd be in a conversation and they'd say something. Boy, it just helped me greatly. Lord, thank you for your children to help. By the way, there's many other things that we can thank for, ain't it? I want to challenge you to do this. This is Thanksgiving. And you know what the world does? They say, be thankful. Right? Know what they say? Be thankful. I don't want you just to be thankful. I want you to thank Him.
Amen.
You can sit down at your desk or get a pen and paper and just start writing out a list of things to thank God for. Amen? What's the last thing you ask Him for in prayer? Anyone? Last thing you ask God for in prayer?
To watch over my husband and surgery.
Now, look what's happening right there beside him. Lord, thank you for watching over Brother Danny during surgery. Amen?
Amen.
And many other blessings that we need to sit down with the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. I thank the Lord for my wife and my children, my grandchildren, especially my grandchildren. That's enough. We got some food next door. It's going cold. But how many of you know we do need to thank? I don't want it to be said of me. Neither was he thankful. I want it to be said, well, he was thankful. And I do think that would please the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
If you're not saved this morning, the first thing you need to do is come to Jesus. He died on the cross, was buried, rose again, so that you would have eternal life. And for you to reject that is to be unthankful. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Unthankful. Come this morning and receive Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, and you need help in this area of your life, being more grateful to others and to God, you may come this morning and kneel in the altar and say, Lord, help me to be more thankful. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you.